Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you this morning to our morning hour of worship. If any of those are visiting with us, a very, very special welcome. And that includes those who are sitting on solid ground and those that may be listening to us in CD ministry later on in the week. No matter when it is or where you are, you're very, very welcome. And we trust that everybody will know God's blessing as we come to worship him this morning. We trust that everybody has got their announcements, whatever form. Please do read that and take a board and everything because it changes week by week and it'd be good to not to miss anything. I was asked to announce a few things. On the announcements or in the one of the 2020 mission sheet, K4C is having an outing. Now, that is not the date that's on that. It's been postponed. So please do look at the announcements for the right date. Also, next Sunday is our prayer service in Clocky at 6:30 p.m. Please do bear that in mind. If you can come along to Clocky at 6:30 next Sunday night, that would be great. And also, an announcement, the men are going to rugby. Now, Ireland did well yesterday, and Ulster's doing well as well. So if the men would like to be part of that rugby trip, that is on Saturday the 22nd of February. So please do get your names down that or see Brian and he will organise the tickets for that. And that will be a very, very good evening indeed. Also on the 22nd in the morning time, Sarah Hamilton is heading over to Malawi this summer. And she's going to have a coffee morning. Her and our family's going to make coffee for each and every one of us. So we would love them to be busy. Love them to be sweating. So please do come along that Saturday morning, the 22nd of February, and support Sarah on her trip to Malawi. That would be great. I'm sure you're all excited that maybe in a few weeks' time, the three-act play will soon be coming on. But unfortunately, we're going to postpone it. Unfortunately, one of our main characters, unforeseen to him, is cannot take part this year. So the decision has been made that we are going to postpone it until later on in the year. I know that will disappoint each and every one of us. It disappoints us who have been practicing it. I know one line in the play was said, you know, in 10 days' time, I'm supposed to take part in a play and we're no near ready. Well, in fact, that couldn't have been near from the truth. You know, but that's not the reason why we're not doing it. It's because one of our main characters had taken part. And I know there was another man that stepped up and said he would read the script and that was great. But we felt it just wasn't right to do it at this present time. So we're going to respond it. Keep your ears to the ground. And right enough, the play we're doing, it's a very, very funny play. If you want a belly full of laughs, that would be the one to come to see. But you'll just have to wait a wee while to get your belly full of laughs. And that will be in the autumn time. So that has been postponed. And anybody has got tickets for it this time, you can get a total refund or else just hold on to your ticket. And that will do when we do put it on. So I think that is all the announcements. But we're here to worship God this morning. So let us worship God by a few verses of Colossians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. And the theme of this morning's service is forgiveness. So let us hear these words. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive us as the Lord forgive you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So let us stand and praise our mighty God as we sing this wonderful priest, Hear the Call of the Kingdom.
Thank you.
Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your name is awesome. You are the King above all kings and the Lord of all lords. And you are the biggest and the most beautiful and the most powerful. Yet you love to hear us sing and pray. Help us to worship you this morning that is pleasing to you. God, our Father, we thank you for listening to us. No matter how young or how old we are, thank you for sending Jesus who teaches us how to pray. We know that you always listen to us. Thank you for calling us together to celebrate your work in this service. Please take away any barriers that stop us from coming into your presence this morning. Help us to listen so we can hear your voice today in this service. Dear Lord, we thank you for the power of forgiveness. And may we choose to forgive everyone who has hurt us. Father, today we ask for forgiveness for all the negative and harmful words that we have spoken. Transform our thoughts and let us understand how marvelously you made each and every one of us. Change our habits so that we can use our tongues to speak hope and favor upon and in our lives. Help us to walk in righteousness, peace, and joy, demonstrating your love here on earth. May we choose to be kind and compassionate, forgiving others just as you forgive us. Lord, as we've just sung, King of Heaven, we will answer your call. We will follow bringing hope to the world. Filled with passion, filled with power to proclaim salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that we can live our lives through these words in a powerful and mighty way to serve you. And Lord, in a moment of silence, we bring to you our forgiveness and our thankfulness to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you taught us to pray. And Lord, you taught us your prayer. And Lord, as we say it together, we pray that we may just soak in all the words so that they're just not words that we have said so many times, but Lord, we penetrate our hearts and our minds. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We stand once again to sing this wonderful piece, Refiner's Fire, Purify My Heart. Let us stand and sing together.
Silver, purify my heart. Let me be a Morning, everyone. Morning. Lovely to be with you. Made it up and down the road. Some waves coming out over the road today. Side of my car is all going to be salty water. Oh, dear. But there we go. We made it up and down safe. It's good to see you out. The storm hasn't kept you away. We're going to read God's word together now as we read another parable. In this series of parables today, it's the parable of the unmerciful servant. And the whole theme of the service today is forgiveness. And Jesus has just been teaching about what to do with a brother who sins against you, someone who sins against you. And we'll look at that briefly later on. But we're just going to jump straight into the parable then as Jesus begins to explain what that looks like. So, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times." Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But then that servant went out. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Amen. We ask God to bless us, speak to us as we read his word aloud. We're going to continue to worship God now with our tithes and offerings, so your offerings will be received. Let's pray together. Lord God, you definitely have lavished us with many blessings. Lord, you've lavished us with forgiveness, many of us here. Your desire is to lavish everyone with that forgiveness. And Lord, this offering today, we dedicate it to that end. So that everyone known to us, people who we will maybe never meet in other countries, Lord, would know the forgiveness of a saving relationship through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. So boys and girls, we're going to sing your song, and just before we do, today we're talking about forgiveness. And when you're talking about forgiveness, in a conversation about forgiveness, there's usually a word inserted in the sentence or in that conversation. And it's the word sorry, it's a hard word, isn't it? That hurts me getting that word out. Hands up, all the people in the room that love saying the word sorry. How many of you waking up in the morning and go, "Oh Lord, give me 10 opportunities to say the word sorry today"? We don't like the word, do we? It's a very important word. I'm going to tell you a story about my childhood. You'll not believe this, but there was one time, just one time, when I was young that I was cheeky. Sorry for telling lies. I'll start that again. On one occasion, when I was young and I was cheeky to a lady who lived out round the estate from where we were at. I used to run around with her grandson who lived with her. And one day I was cheeky to her. And I knew, man, I said the thing that I said. I can't just remember what I said. But I remember thinking to myself, if my ma finds out about that, I'll get a thick ear. So by the time I got home, my mother had found out about it. Because Mrs. McDonald had phoned round and says, "That little boy of yours has been cheeky to me." So my mother was telling me this, and I was waiting for it, and I got something I was not waiting for. She put me in the car. she drove me round to the woman's house. And she says, get you up that path, and you go and say sorry. And I started to cry. I started to cry because I didn't want to say sorry. And I sat in that car, and I went, you get out, and you go, and you say sorry. And I sat in the car, and I kid you not, I remember this vividly. I said, Mommy, just beat me. I did not want to go and say sorry to this woman. But I got out of the car and I drudged myself up the driveway. I knocked at the door and this really gruff old lady, she was a really angry kind of old lady and I was a wee bit afraid of her. And I go, I'm sorry, Ms. McDonald, for being cheeky. And she goes, well, thank you for coming to say sorry. That's okay, try not to do it again. And her reaction to my sorry, I wasn't expecting that either. And what happened in me, I wasn't expecting that either because all of a sudden the tears dried up and the situation wasn't just as bad as I'd made it out to be. Sorry is an important word for us to say to each other. And we're going to be talking to mums and dads about forgiveness when you go out. But it's good that we say sorry to each other. But obviously, it's great when we say sorry to God. When we get up in the morning, we need to pray every morning. We had this little prayer in the house, I think it was the inside of one of the doors. It said, Lord, I've got up this morning, or Lord, so far today, I haven't used any bad language. I haven't upset anyone. I've been fairly kind. And this list of things, and at the bottom says, Lord, I'm about to get out of bed now, and I might need your help. But we ask God for help every morning. But when we come to the evening, parents, husbands, wives, all of us, take a moment with God as a family and just say sorry. Because you'll need to say sorry every day. There'll be something. Sorry to each other and sorry to God for the things that we've done wrong. And that will make the next day a little bit better, I would imagine. So let's try and say sorry more. That sounds terrible. That means we should be doing a lot more bad things. Let's try and make the mistakes as small as possible. But when we make the few mistakes, let's very quickly say sorry. Would that be the best way to put that? Right, let's stand together and sing this song before the boys and girls go out. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Sorry, I'm laughing. Heather has just said to Mark, you will take my pace. Sorry, Heather. Let's stand and sing. Come now to a time where we're going to pray for others and watch the news. Think of the world around you. Maybe we could be here for hours. We could sit here all this time tomorrow praying for the world. So we encourage you to come on Wednesday night to pray intercessory prayers for the people around us, for things that are going on in this congregation, for the world around us, for people that we know. We're going to take a moment now, and what I'm going to do is leave a bit of space. Imagine there's going to be space when nobody is speaking except the Holy Spirit. We're going to take space for you to think about some of the people that you know, some of the situations that might be triggered in your mind whenever I mention something else. Just take that minute or a couple of minutes just to be still before God. So let's just bow our heads now and come before him in prayer. Lord, we've just come through, or we're in the middle of, or in some part of Storm Kira. And Lord, we know that that storm will bring lots of disruption, some damage. We pray, Lord, that no lives will be lost in this storm. And Lord, we know that storms rage around us in various forms, not just wind and rain. Storms rage in various countries around the world, in various lives. Some of those storms are based on our relationships. Some of those storms are to do with our workplaces, our finances. Various aspects of our lives, Lord, can be stormy at any time. And we thank you, Lord, for the parable that we looked at a few weeks ago, that when Jesus was in that boat and just in a moment he calmed that storm and brought complete calm. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are a God over every storm in our lives. And we pray, Lord, for everyone here today who is going through some kind of storm. We ask, Lord God, that it was your will, that it would be your will, that they would have complete calm in their lives. But we also know from your word, Lord God, that when Paul was on those stormy seas, you spoke to him and told him that he and all of the people on that boat would have to go through that storm. They would have to go through a shipwreck. But Lord, you promised them that they would get safe to shore. So Lord, for those who are in our congregations, it's not your will that their storm will be calmed immediately. We pray, Lord, that they would know your presence, even through a shipwreck. We pray, Lord, that you would fill them with confidence that you are going through that storm with them and you will get them safely to the shore. Because, Lord, we know that sometimes in these storms, these are the times that you strengthen us. You give us experiences that make us better human beings. They make us better followers of you. They help us to understand how powerful you really are, Lord. And, Lord, may we as a congregation stand with people going through these storms. May we be what they need. May we be the Paul who stands up and said, "The God whose I am has spoken to me." And may we bring that comfort and confidence to people through our relationships. And Lord, we know there are many stormy relationships, particularly in the political world, Lord. We see so many things going on. We see the pantomime, Lord, which is really the American system at the moment. We see, Lord, some of the devastation in Scotland and their political situation at this time. Lord, we know there's an election going on in the south across the border. We just pray, Lord, that your will would be done there. And we know, Lord, as we look at politics particularly and listen to the politicians, as we think of how we've come through the whole Brexit thing, Lord, there has been lots of conversation, lots of words that have not brought peace and unity, but there has been quite a lot of even bad-temperedness, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for the political setup in our country and the countries around us and around the world. And we pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in the political atmosphere. We pray that they will serve with integrity. We pray, Lord, that they will serve sowing seeds of the gospel in whatever committees or wherever chambers they find themselves. We pray, Lord, that they would be an influence for policy that would bring policies in line with your word. But Lord, when that word, or when those politics and political parties turn away from your word, we know, Lord, that our job is to speak to people. So we just pray for all of our politicians, our brothers and sisters, that they would be able to just speak to people and continually sow seeds of the gospel. Lord, there's a great storm of the coronavirus at the moment, and that seems to be spreading. We just pray, Lord, for those efforts to contain it and treat it. We pray protection, Lord, over many, many people around the world and in different countries. And Lord, sometimes when an outbreak happens, it's very difficult to stop that outbreak. And it, Lord, it has seemed to be difficult for the folks in Thailand to stop that outbreak of the soldier, Lord. And these acts, Lord, perhaps not terrorism in this case, but these acts when people break down and take their frustrations out in this way, Lord, it just is beyond our comprehension. But Lord, we pray that you would just speak into that. And Lord,
the many countries around the world where there is violence between gangs or between rival tribes, and Lord, even between countries across many borders. And Lord, many of us will know about many things and many countries and many people's lives. And we ask now, Lord, that as we take a moment before you, that you would hear our prayers. Lord, it's easy for one voice to pray and for us to hear one voice. If we were to pray aloud now, Lord, we wouldn't make sense of it. But we know, Lord, in the quietness of our hearts, you hear everything that we pray for. And you can deal with it. So deal with us, Lord. We ask your Spirit to move just as we pray. Pray, Lord, about those things that you've laid in our hearts. Lord, you tell us to be still and know that you are Lord. We just pray for this time of quiet. We thank you, Lord. We pray that all will have known your presence, not felt uncomfortable, but just know that your Spirit is here and moving amongst us. We pray for his voice as we turn to your word again, Lord. We pray that by your Spirit you would speak to us, helping us to pick up what each of us need to hear today, Lord. Open our ears to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Parable, forgiveness. It is our forgiveness need that we're talking about today. And that forgiveness is a finely balanced and sometimes sort of contradictory concept in our head. This is where the forgiveness is all sort of worked out in our head. Sometimes we'll say to someone, I forgive you. And we really mean it. We really, really, genuinely forgive them. But weeks or months later, we get into a similar situation with the same person. And we remember what happened the last time. It makes us cautious. Did we really forgive them, or what's going on? We have this phrase, forgive and forget. Don't try to do that. Please do not try to tangle yourself up with forgiving and forgetting. You can't do it. It's actually quite dangerous to bury things and forget things. It's better to deal with things. Forgive and move on is the best thing that we can do. But we always know the thing is there. And it's a finely balanced thing. Have I forgiven them? Do I trust them? Forgiveness and trust, finely balanced. Then we get into the contradictory part. We're asking someone for forgiveness. We're really pleading for it. We may be frustrated because they won't forgive us. But all the while, there's somebody else that's asking us for forgiveness and we won't give it in some situation. So we find ourselves in this contradictory situation. But then there's this other part. We talked about it. We didn't talk about it. We referred to it last week where we have been forgiven. Someone has forgiven us and we know that they have. And we go on, but we can't forgive ourselves. We still hold ourselves back because of the thing that we have done. Forgiveness is often difficult to deal with, both in the giving of it and in the receiving of it. So the best way for us to get our head around it is to turn to Jesus to see what he has said. So let's turn together to Matthew chapter 18 as we look today at this topic of forgiveness. Now, Jesus has been teaching here in verses 15, from 15 down through, about how to deal with a brother or a sister who sins against you. And in those verses, forgiveness is not mentioned, but it's certainly implied. In verse 15 there it says, if your brother sins against you and you go and show him his fault, just between the two of you, if he listens to you, you have won your brother over. So in that phrase, you have won your brother over, Jesus is saying there's been a conversation. Someone has sinned against you, you've gone and you've spoken to them about it, and they went, I'm sorry about that, that's okay, look, no problem. Okay, and you won them over, you win over the relationship again. And Peter has been listening to this teaching of Jesus, and he has certainly picked up what Jesus has been implying. Because he comes out straight in verse 21, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Now, you know, I like to try and put myself into the context, and what was it like to be sitting there? Maybe the naughty side of me. I imagine this. So Peter is sitting, looking Jesus in the eye, and he says, Lord, how many times do I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Because Andrew would have been in the room here. Andrew would have been present, his brother. And I wonder where the other disciples sitting going, awkward. We know how these two boys get on. You know how brothers and sisters can get on We know all the siblings in here never fell out with each other, so we know that that's maybe hard for you to understand. Well, I often wonder what he was actually talking about there. Was there something particular? I don't think that's what he's referring to. He's not referring to just his brother Andrew. I think this is a wider context. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord, certainly, and I think even wider. How many times do I forgive someone who I know who sins against me? And he throws out his opening bid, as it were. Up to 7 times. Now, this is quite a statement, because the rabbis had calculated somehow, I don't know how they did it, but they had calculated 3 times was enough. All the people lived with a 3-strike rule, 3 strikes, and I don't have to forgive you anymore. So Peter, he's thrown us up to 7. So what's the significance of 7? Well, it's certainly double. He's doubled the ante here. But 7 is this really perfect number. It's this number that the Jews like. 7 is there's 7 lamps and all these. This word 7 is a kind of word of perfection. And I kind of wonder, was Peter going, 7 times? Jesus, will I forgive him 7 times? Well, whatever thoughts were in Peter's mind when he came out with the word 7, Jesus very quickly just takes his 7, scrumples it up, throws it out the window, and it says here, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So there might be a wee footnote in your Bible that says in the original language that could mean 70 times 7. So Jesus, on first reading, is upping it to 77. A wee bit of further digging, we could say, well, he's up to 490. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus taking the number 7, multiplied it by 10, and then multiplying that by 7. So he's this 7 and multiplying it all up. Jesus is saying, hey, you just continue to forgive your brother as many times as it takes. Keep forgiving. Win him over. Win your brother over again and again and again and again and again and so on and so on and so on. So Jesus is taking this 3 concept or this 3-rule concept, and he's just blowing it completely out of their minds. It's been taught by the experts of the law for generations, and the new concept is going to need a parable. And the parable is the parable of the unmerciful servant. So we see in this parable, right at the very start, Jesus says, therefore the kingdom of heaven, oh, that's away. I've got to set this down before it heads off as well. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who settled accounts with his servants. So let's just set up this first verse. The king is God. The accounts, that is our sin. The servants, that is us. Okay, so we know who we're talking about in this parable. Those are the 3 characters. This is what the parable is about. God, sin, and settling those accounts with us. And this guy in verse 24, he's coming to settle his account, and he owes 10,000 talents. So whenever I read that, 10,000 talents, the first thing that might come into your head is 10,000 pounds. A lot of money. But I mean, most of us would maybe buy a car for 10,000 pounds. Certainly we're all living in houses that are worth more than 10,000 pounds and we're paying that off. So, I mean, 10,000 pounds is not a big amount of debt, really, in today's culture. But do not let 10,000 pounds stick in your head whenever we're talking about 10,000 talents. Let's try and figure out the size of this debt. So, a talent is the highest unit of currency. So, we used to have a £100 note. Now, nobody in Clocky had one. Are they still in operation? Do we ever get them in the plate? No. I don't know if they're still. They were a big red. I remember seeing one or two. I remember meeting a boy one day with a fistful of them. I thought, wow. But like a £100 note was the highest sort of thing that we can hand across, the single highest thing. And 10,000 was the largest Greek numeral. So it was a mind-blowing number. So I'm going to put some numbers up on the screen here to try and get ahead of it. What's that? You'll know what that number is there. This is a game, so let's play along. What's that? 1 million. So there's another number. 1 billion. Now, don't start arguing with me about a long billion and a short billion and what the US talk about 1 billion. See you in Grey Abbey this morning. That's 1 billion, all right? Because that there can also be 1 billion, depending on who you're talking to, but that's 1 trillion. So this is a big number. So you know the difference. Even you work across there, like 1,000 is the first set of zeros. Then it's 1 million. So you know the difference between 1,000 and 1 million. So the difference then between 1 million and 1 billion and 1 trillion, that's a lot. But that's not one of the biggest, these are not the biggest numbers that we deal with. Here is the biggest number that we deal with. One of the biggest numbers that we deal with. So that's called a Google, not like Google search, a G-O-O-G-O-L, I think it is. That's a Google. That's a one with 100 zeros. Now, I'm telling you, there's 100 zeros. Don't be sitting when I'm talking about this going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 12. There's 100 up there, all right? Trust me, there's 100 up there. But what size is this number? That number's big. But there's actually a bigger number. There's a number called a Googleplex. Now, I can't click a button for the Googleplex. But a Googleplex, this is right. I'm going to try and help you understand the size of the Googleplex, right? So if you were to take one, write one down, imagine what it would be like to write a million zeros. That's only 100. So a Google is one with 100 zeros. A Googleplex is one with not a million zeros and not the next jump up to a billion. It's not the next jump up to a trillion. It is a one with a Google of zeros after it. Right? Look, Heather, she's got a headache. Anybody got tablets? Look. Right, so how would you write that down? You can't. It's impossible. And on the other Google, I found this statistic. If you were to take a book that has 400 pages, and each of those pages have 50 lines, and every one of those lines you write 50 zeros, the weight of all the books that it would take to write the Googleplex would be denser. The mass of it would be heavier than the Earth, the solar system, the Milky Way, our whole galaxy. They reckon the books that would be needed to write those down would be heavier than the known universe. Right? So how many galaxies are out there? Billions. So many they can't count. This is this number, folks. You're never going to get this number on your paycheck. This number is huge. This number is as big as the known universe. So now, whenever you read this parable that this man owed 10,000 talents, you can begin to get your head around what these people were thinking when Jesus talked about this. This was the size of this man's debt. Now that you've got your head around the size of this number, I want you to forget about the size of the number. Stop thinking about the number, okay? Because this number would have been the thing that Jesus used to conceal the truth of the kingdom. Because maybe like some of you, you're going to be sitting down trying to think, wow, writing all those books, wow, think of that. And you could spend the rest of this sermon thinking about this big number instead of thinking about what the number represents. So forget about the size of the number, and I want you to think now what that number represents. That number represents the debt our sin has created. The debt that our sin has created is incalculable. It cannot be dealt with by mankind. Our sin is so great that we cannot pay it back. We cannot work it off. The only way to deal with our sin is to have it cancelled by a loving and a forgiving God. And at the beginning of this parable, Jesus teaches us about a loving God who cancels our sin. And we're going to look at how forgiveness is received in the first part of the parable. Now, this parable is open to lots of misinterpretation. Because in this parable, there are lots of details of first century debt law. And some people try to take all the things they know about salvation, God's salvation theology, and marry all these things up together. Remember, not everything in the parable means something about the kingdom of God. So we're going to go through this, and I'm going to tell you what the things mean and what they don't mean. Okay? So that whenever you go home and study this and think about it, that you're not going to get tripped up. So this man's debt is unpayable, but yet the debt means he is going to go to slavery. People in these days went into slavery, or verse 30 says they go to prison. Verse 34 says they can be tortured. All of those things were possible if you were in debt. And in this story, the man's family is mentioned. But when it comes to our sin before God, my sin before God is a matter between me and God. Ruth and Jack and Archie have got nothing to do with it. So don't think that because slavery debt in these days involved your family, sin is between you and God, between me and God. That's where the matter stays. The man begs for patience before the king, and he has this desire to pay it back. But we know now that this is impossible for him to pay back. But what is the thing telling us? The parable is telling us that this is this man's act of repentance. He knows and he understands that this debt needs to be dealt with. It has a weight on him, and he knows it needs to be dealt with somehow. But we know that this debt that this parable is talking about is the weight of our sin. And we know that it has been dealt with. We know Jesus sorted it out. He paid for it all. Now just let your minds think about the Googleplex. Now think about you. Your sin. Jesus paid for it. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's what Paul writes to 1 Corinthians. According to what the scriptures said was going to happen, he was pierced for our iniquities. He was nailed to the cross for our transgressions. That's what Isaiah says. That's the prophecy we know in the New Testament. We know what happened. He died for our sins. And we know that repentance of that sin cancels the debt. We know that through Christ we have forgiveness. That's what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 when he went out full of the Holy Spirit. He says, repent through Christ and receive forgiveness for your sins. And here, this loving king cancels the debt. He sees the man's heartfelt plea. And folks, this is God's desire for you. God's desire for all of us that we would come humbly before him, knowing there's a debt that needs to be sorted out and knowing that only he can do it. Knowing that he has done it and knowing that we can have our debt cancelled through Jesus Christ. And if you have not had your debt cancelled, you can have that today. As quickly here as it happens in this passage in a verse, please have patience. Please forgive me. Debt cancelled. That is your promise here today. Let's go back to our first century parable. This servant now should be out celebrating. He should be out immediately giving joy. My debt has been cancelled. But he seems to be, but he goes straight out and he's reluctant to forgive. The same story. It's almost a carbon copy. It's the same story, only it's like a step down the food chain. A step down the social ladder. Now, this guy owes him 100 denarii. In the footnote of your Bible, it might say a few dollars, but it's more than that. It's probably 100 days' wages is what he owes him. It's not a big sum of money. And compared to what he was just being cleared of, it is tiny. It's a violent encounter. He grabs him by the scruff of the neck, we would say. And the guy pleads for patience just as he has been pleading for patience a minute ago. But unlike the master, he doesn't forgive. He refuses to give and has the man thrown in prison. Now, when he was thrown in prison, how would he ever pay it back? Well, that's where the phrase comes in. They had to be bailed out. He would have needed his family to come and settle that debt so that he could get out of prison. But this forgiven servant should have went out and shown the same pity. He'd have shown the same grace and love to his fellow worker, but he didn't. And we'll see in a minute what that means and what that looks like. But you know, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has already taught us about forgiveness and how we should pass it on. George led you this morning in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts, written in Matthew chapter 6. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. How can we go and ask God for forgiveness if we refuse to forgive? You see, there's a connection between these forgivenesses. And folks, it is important for us to get our head around forgiveness. It's important for us to understand forgiveness because it is the very core of Christian theology. At the very heart of it is forgiveness. Sin is this great offense to God and it needs to be forgiven. Forgiveness is the key. Because every one of us is born with original sin. The sin that Adam and Eve committed is on every single one of us. A child born is born sinful. That's called original sin. And that is the sin that we need to get on our knees or get before God or driving along in our cars, whatever way it is, we have to get an understanding in our heads of that original sin and what it means for us. And we've got to come to God and plead for mercy. And he deals with that original sin. The Christian life then begins. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are in Christ. We are new creations. We are in this process of becoming holy, called sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. The original sin is dealt with. Christ's death is sufficient. But yet, sin affects our daily lives. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we still sin. This is called actual sin. So there's original sin, and then there's actual sin. The original sin is that, put it this way, that's the offense between us and God, individually. But the actual sin is the things that we do to each other. So there's this vertical and this horizontal lines for it. But of course, every sin we commit against each other is still an offense to God. He's still offended because if I sin against anyone in here, you're made in God's image. He loves you. So, I mean, if somebody offends Ruth, they offend me because I'm her husband. It's the same way for God. If I offend you, if I sin against you, that's an offense to God. And when this actual sin happens, we should confess to each other. Not in some kind of confessional booth. You don't come and confess to me and I forgive you. There's a joke, running joke down in Clocky. We've built a thing in the corner like that and it's called the confessional. It's not a confessional. It's a sound desk. But we confess to each other so that we can forgive one another. We're told in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Pray with each other, I would say, so that you may be healed, so that those relationships can be healed. Be kind and compassionate. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So we've received this forgiveness. So this forgiveness is something that should be seen. And in this process of living amongst each other, we will get things wrong. But that forgiveness between ourselves, it protects the relationships in church. It protects our bond of unity. It protects our fellowship. It protects how we minister together in our various groups. Folks, we should be keeping short accounts when it comes to forgiving one another. Because you see that forgiveness in this place, Trinity Grey Abbey, that is a powerful, powerful example for the people of this village who are unforgiven. Because the forgiveness that we display between each other is a reflection on that forgiveness that we have got. And there's people out there, I tell you, I am absolutely convinced, there's people out there who believe they can't be forgiven. Their sin is so great that God can't forgive them. And if we don't display forgiveness, they're never going to get an insight into how that forgiveness can be poured out into their lives. Now, I'm not saying that we should just forgive everybody and that they get off scot-free. And they, you know, if we sin, there's going to be consequences. There could be punishment for that. There could be discipline for that. And we've got to go through those processes. Absolutely. But we should still forgive. In this conversation, we talk about then forgiveness and repentance. What if someone has done something and they are unrepentant? Should I forgive them or should I not forgive them? Well, yes, it's good whenever we can have repentance. We go to that brother or that sister. We go and we sit down and say, look, I have done this wrong. I am so sorry. And that makes it all the more easier. But what if someone has sinned against you and hurt you badly and that person dies? That person leaves this scene of time. You see, if you can't forgive them, that thing that's annoying you will turn into bitterness. It will turn into anger. It will turn into hate. And quite often, if you meet someone like that, when you get talking to them, there's something away back in their life that they've not dealt with or not been able to deal with. You see, that eats us up, folks, and it makes us bitter and binds us, and Satan uses it to bind us. Don't forget what the Bible says, he who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. We don't need to rely on human repentance for us to be freed with the forgiveness that God has given us. If we call ourselves forgiven, then forgiveness should be a flavor. It should be a color that colors all of our relationships here on earth. We must forgive as God forgives. And maybe you're here today and this is a real issue for you. And there's another parable about way in the Old Testament. It's a parable that Nathan tells David. You may be familiar with it. So Nathan comes to David way back in 2 Samuel. And he says, there was this man and he had this wee pet lamb. And he loved the wee lamb and he brought it. The lamb slept in the bed with him. Drank out of his bowl. It was his wee pet lamb. The family loved the wee lamb. But this rich man had a visitor. And he didn't want to kill his lamb. So he came and he took the poor man's lamb and slaughtered it. And David got enraged. He says, this man should die for this. And Nathan looks at him and goes, you are the man. Because that parable was about another man's wife. Are you the person today that God is talking to you about forgiveness? Is there something that you need to let go of or get rid of? If there is, don't leave today still bound by it. We want the church, after the service is over, everyone go out for a cup of tea. We won't leave this space. The prayer ministry team, I've asked them to pray about this because I think God really wants to say something to us today. So stay behind. Come back and grab your cup and come back in. And the prayer ministry team will love to spend time helping you to just get rid of that. It could be something from years ago that's just niggling at you. Be set free today. This man who was forgiven, he rejected that forgiveness, really. We haven't much time to spend at the end of this parable. I just want to tell you what it's not saying. The people see what he's done. They go and report it. The master calls him back and he puts all that debt back onto his account and sends them to be tortured. This is not saying that if we come before God and we have our sins forgiven and God takes that sin away and he forgives us. That's not saying that if we go out of here and refuse to forgive other people that we're going to that sin lump back onto us and we're heading back to hell again. We're not for heaven at all. That's not what it's saying. What the end of this parable is saying simply is this. If people are out there and refuse to forgive, there's a good chance that this forgiveness is not in here. It's not in their heart at all. So if you're here this morning and you are really struggling, and you think that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you are really struggling to forgive, then you need to get back before the Master and plead from your heart for that forgiveness. Jesus is clear, Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive other people, God won't forgive you. These two things are intrinsically linked, this way and this way. And folks, when we have it this way, we can do it this way. We don't and shouldn't be unmerciful servants. We should be merciful servants. We should be out forgiving people in ways that blows their minds. Did you ever have an interaction with someone and they were just getting ready for something and you just go in and say, look, I'm sorry. We just humble ourselves before them. Just say sorry. It takes the heat out of the situation. When people come to you thinking, how could you ever forgive me for this? And you actually forgive them. Think of the impact that that has. Think of how we're showing the love of God. And here's the thing. Let's think about what we're connected to. So the forgiveness of God is bigger than the number that if it was written down in books would be. The books would be heavier than the known universe, right? The known universe. And this is the universe that God holds here in the palm of his hand. Fellow believer, that's what we are connected to. Forgiveness power, bigger, more powerful than the known universe. And we can have access to it through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have forgiven us. And we know the offense that our sin causes. So, Lord, we thank you that you are pleased when we come to you and ask for forgiveness. You are pleased to lavish us with it. So, Lord, may we be overflowing with it, Lord, in our daily lives. May those who are here this morning, Lord, who don't know it and haven't been connected to it, Lord, may they be connected to it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's through grace that we get this. We're going to sing this medley. We've sang a number of times before. Amazing grace, how sweet this sound. Let's stand together. and sing to the glory of God.
Yeah.
Now, may that grace that saves us through the blood of Jesus that leaves us whiter than snow, may that grace, the mercy, and the peace, and the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest on us, remain in us, today and forevermore. Amen.